Those mornings where we just need to catch our breath. It's been so awesome to be in this place worshiping, and the words and the prayers and the anthem and the scripture readings, the children's story, my cup already feels very full. I don't know if you feel that way, but I just feel like, can we just breathe and catch our breath and maybe look to your left and look to your right and go, hey, thank you for being here, for a part of this that we're a part of. Those of you in the sanctuary, those of you worshiping online in this moment, in this time, or in the days ahead, thanks be to God for God's kindness and generosity and nurture to us. We're venturing back into the Gospel of Mark. And if you want some summer reading or want to have a summer gospel, I would suggest that you carry the Gospel of Mark with you. So there it is. Carry the Gospel of Mark with you. The great thing about the Gospel of Mark is it's short. We'll also be preaching several sermons from it in the months ahead. And so it's kind of our gospel for our cycle of three-year readings. And put the Gospel of Mark under the banner of God at work, even when we can't quite see that. God at work, even when the circumstances of life might not seem to show us that. And again, I think our anthem and the songs that we've sung and our prayers have already prepared the way for us to continue to reflect that God at work that way. And today we find Jesus in storytelling mode, telling parables. And if you've heard me preach about the parables before, you hear me use the Greek rendering of the word parable, which is parabole, to lay alongside in the Greek rendering. And that means that we lay these stories alongside our lives or the life of our community of faith. And then we pay attention, we listen, and we try to discern what's arising in our midst as God grows things up in our lives. Parables aren't meant to be formulaic or these moral ethic masterclasses. And so that's why I've included in today's insert this poem called Introduction to Poetry. I ask them to take a poem and hold it to the light like a color slide, or press an ear against its hive. I say, drop a mouse into a poem and watch him probe his way out, or walk inside the poem's room and feel the walls for a light switch. I want them to water ski across the surface of a poem, waving at the author's name on the shore. But all they do is tie the poem to a chair with rope and torture a confession out of it. They begin beating it with a hose to find out what it really means. We are not to beat up parables with a hose. And so as we're listening to parables today, or as you're reading parables in the weeks ahead, don't beat them up. What is it like for them to lay alongside your life? And how might the Spirit speak to you or speak to us? I like that image in this poem of water skiing across the poem, waving at the author who's on the shore. So we have two stories. The story of the seed that grows automatically. Jesus says that the dream of God for the world is like someone who scatters seeds and then goes to sleep, and the seeds sprout and grow. That's amazing and hopefully comforting and consoling. And for first century Christians who lived in a world where the odds were stacked against them, where the Roman soldiers with their billy sticks and the threat of the empire was always around them, this would have been good news. The image of a sleeping sower would have been a soothing balm for them. And rather than sleeping with one eye open, wondering if the world is going to collapse, this story tells them to sleep and trust that God is at work, germinating, sprouting, growing life, new ways, new hopes, new dreams, a new reign, not one of power, of the sword, but a reign of peace and mercy and love. It would have been hard for them to fathom this new world, but this story gives reassurance and permission for them to rest their weary bones, to put their heads to sleep and trust and believe that God is the leading character of the story. Can we pause as 21st century hearers today and rest in the promises of this story? To sleep? To trust? When we look at the landscapes of our lives, how might God be inviting us and consoling us to sleep and trust? And then Jesus tells a second parable related to the first, but this one gives an image of what life might be like in the future of what God is doing. Jesus says the dream of God is like a mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds that grows into the greatest of all shrubs. And the birds of the air find sanctuary and hospitality in its dense, thick branches. And there's some evidence that mustard seeds grew like weeds in the first century Judean countrysides. So Jesus is not saying that the dream of God is like this 100-foot-tall cedar, powerful, looming over. Instead, God moves humbly, in small ways, through bushes that weave and finagle their way through crooks and crannies, and even the toughest landscape netting. And I don't think any of us have a propensity to thank God for weeds, but maybe this second story can make us smile a bit. The next time you're lifting up that 3.5-foot root of quack grass, I brought some of mine today. This was part of my sermon prep this week. I dug through our flower bed. I dug through my quack grass field, and I marveled at how much of it there was and how long the roots were. If you really wanted to get the roots, right, you get a shovel and you dig under, and then you lift out this web and this tangle and this network of roots, and you say, thanks be to God. This is how the kingdom of God works. Even while I'm asleep, look at what's going on under the earth. With tears in your eyes, you say, thanks be to God. So maybe that'll help you marvel at the mysteries of God this week. As we lay these stories alongside our lives, what's piquing our imagination? I like that image of the shrub putting forth large branches. That's a great image. And I've got this picture of lots of birds in the branches of a mustard seed tree. This is a art icon by Kelly Lattimore. For first century Christians, they needed sanctuary and hospitality. They needed to know that they were not alone and that the birds of the air would be gathering from all kinds of places for sanctuary and hospitality. And we too, in this time, are birds of the air. And I pray that we've found sanctuary and hospitality in this place. Our church has done a lot of work in the last 10 years to make this a place for those who need sanctuary, hospitality, for those who've been harmed or hurt or burnt out or shamed out or left out. We've found a welcome at FBC. And not just in the last 10 years, but like Alan was praying, we're on a 131-year journey of welcome, well-being, peace. So, I thought we should pause for a bird report. Remembering that there's lots of different trees, branches, and lots of different birds that gather in this place, I want you to think of your favorite bird. What's your favorite bird? And sometimes you hear me playing with the acronym of our church, First Baptist Church, FBC. Today, let it be First Branches Church. And you're going to share your favorite bird with someone near you, and they are not going to crinkle their nose and go, "Oh, you like those birds? Those are so annoying." No, you're going to say, "Oh, you love that bird? I'm happy for you and glad that you have a place at First Branches Church. You are welcome here." Your favorite bird? Mine is the blue jay. I even have the hat to prove it. What's your favorite bird? Share it with someone near you. If you're watching online, maybe share it with someone near you or text someone your favorite bird. Or you could put it in the chat if you're with us online. Evan will host you in the chat room and acknowledge your favorite bird. Okay, go. 30 seconds. What's your favorite bird? Meatball. There is a place for your bird in this tree. That's great. First Branches Church, there is a place for your bird in this tree. The kookaburra, the chickadee, the eagle, the hawk. There's one more that I missed. I heard a few. Magpies. Hey, everybody, First Branches Church. We love all our birds. Someone just said my least favorite kind of pie, magpie. Mwah, mwah, mwah. That's a Father's Day joke. May this shrub of a church, with God leading and loving us, keep on growing us up, making our branches broad in this place of sanctuary and hospitality. We're not trying to be spectacular. We're just trying to be a place for everyone to land. And maybe it happens with small works, small acts little faith, a little seed, little words. So Jesus invites us to sleep. If that's what you need from the parables today, sleep and trust. But we're also encouraged by Jesus to act and welcome and envision. And I have this prayer that's on the other side of your insert, and we're going to close with this prayer. And I encourage you to carry this prayer with you this week. And Christina and I are going to voice this prayer as you follow along. Dear God, bless me with a radical love, inventor of love. And may that love overflow onto, into, and through me. Flood me with your kindness, generosity, and compassion, so that I may be your hands and feet in the world.
Help me to remember that love isn't always in grand gestures or extravagant gifts, but in the small, faithful acts. Help me to remember that it is in showing up, in the work behind the scenes, in doing that which won't give us recognition. The one who is the first in and last out. The generosity of time, resources, spirit. The one who leaves flowers in her wake. This is the long faithfulness that can change the world.
God bless me in this little way, to be able to do small things with great love. One small action at a time until it's a bridge, with a span that reaches from my little life to yours with each act of love. And when I screw up or forget or grow weary, bless me with the courage to begin again. Loving and loving again. Being changed by your love and transforming the world one little act of love at a time. May it be so.